You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Hey, what's going on, dude? You know what, dude? First of all, this episode, amazing. Origins of the Comedy Cellar. It's a premium member episode. Only premium members got it. It was so good, and I wanted to release it for a week to everybody. Because I think everybody should. It's going to be back behind the paywall next week, I believe. So listen to it now. Spread the word. Tell everybody. This is the owner of the Comedy Cellar, the man who started the Comedy Cellar, one of the original comics. When the Comedy Cellar first hit its peak back in the day, it's so interesting to hear. And so funny. I had such a good time. We actually taped it at the Rio in Las Vegas, where the new Comedy Cellar is going. It's just a great episode. So check it out. And I want to talk about one of my favorite sponsors here, thedeepdiscount.com. They are a loyal sponsor of my show and the place to shop for everyone's holiday list. And it's Cyber Week, which means everything is on sale, even at even lower prices. You got to go here. You got to see it right there at your fingertips at deepdiscount.com. Tens of thousands of items are incredibly discounted. Classic TV shows and movies for the whole family, including holiday favorites, Rudolph, Frosty, Christmas Story, and more. And this is what you want to do for the kids, because you don't know when they're on, and then you tape them. And you get half of it, and there's commercials. Just go to Deep Discount. Get Rudolph, Frosty, A Christmas. Just have them. Put them in the DVD player and play them when you want. Don't wait. listen to me. It can't be worse to sit through these commercials after commercials. Buy your favorites. Watch them when you want. See it for yourself. Go to deepdiscount.com or just click on their logo on my homepage, riotcast.com/Robert Kelly. Get a jump on your holiday shopping. Do it, dude. Find your favorite movies and TV shows. And you know what I did? I'll tell you what I did. I just went and bought the Defiant Ones, which is, I don't know if you know about it, but it's a insane docuseries, I guess, directed by Alan Hughes. It's the partnership between Dr. Dre and Jimmy Levine. It is one of the coolest documentaries I've seen in a long time. And I bought it. It's only $22.99 on Blu-ray at deepdiscount.com. It's crazy. Woo! So, get a jump on your holiday shopping. Find those favorite movies and TV shows for yourself and everyone on your list. Buy hard-to-find titles and the releases, too. Here's the deal. You like Logan Lucky, starring Channing Tanner and Adam Driver? This movie was... I love these movies. Kooky, crazy, action, kind of crime, but funny. Logan Lucky. It comes out this week, and you can get your copy now on Blu-ray or DVD for a great price. Just click the Deep Discount logo found on my page. What a mush mouth. Deep Discount logo found on my homepage. Riotcast.com/Robert Kelly. Support my sponsors. Be good to yourself. Buy your favorites. Watch them when you want to. Check it out now. Thank you, Deep Discount.
Welcome to the funniest podcast on the planet Earth.
This is going
to
be a clusterfuck.
This podcast has no rules.
Talking to the mic, asshole.
I'm sure I've already said, should I regret?
Can I get a microphone?
No! What the fuck?
I always try to keep it like a comic hang. I have a bunch of guys on. It's just us sitting down and yapping. Sometimes it's hilarious. Sometimes it's intense. No topics. No directions. I love doing it.
Don't play both sides of the coin.
That's how a host does, you motherfucker.
I'm honored that you think my podcast is popular enough where I might affect somebody's life.
You never know.
It's Robert Kelly's You Know What Do podcast on riotcast.com.
Go. Let's start this over. Induce him.
Induce him?
Is it recording?
I recorded it on here.
Oh,
I got double recording.
Oh,
here we go.
Thank God no one who worked for you made that mistake.
Oh my God.
Hi, how you doing? Well, you know what?
I got all the bullshit out of the show. That's extra. That's Patreon extra. The Patreon extra. Robert Kelly, you know what, dude? On the road, Las Vegas, Rio. I took a 20-minute hit anyways about my shitty room getting fucked in the butt and doing all this stuff. And how he crosses his leg like a winner. Okay? So anyways, we're starting the show. Liz, my lovely...
Thank you. Yeah.
See?
Thank you.
So go ahead.
Can you please introduce
everybody?
What did he
call you before that you took such a great exception?
Oh, please, no.
No,
we edited that out.
Right.
I don't have that.
We've been fighting all this.
You called her a road Lauren. I guess Lauren is a girl who used to work for Robert, and they've had some kind of falling out.
No.
No?
No.
Oh.
No. That he basically just called me his road lackey.
No, I don't.
It's also like Scopo. God.
This is terrible that you called
him. Don't say anything bad about Scopo. Jeez. His dad controls
the garbage.
I love
Scopo. Yeah. I love Scopo's dad, but Scopo was
He will not
Bobby's
give you a deal on the garbage.
He'll raise our rates, yeah.
All right, listen. Can you please introduce everybody? And
sure.
Don't stop calling people lackeys.
Lackeys. Okay, Bill Grunfest is here.
Oh, my God. He didn't know
Bill Grunfest was the founder of the Comedy Cellar in
1981.
Now let him do that. He was going to redo it again. He was doing his thing.
I didn't do it in the first place. She said he founded the Comedy Cellar in 1981. I didn't say that about
but
myself.
But then you went into a beautiful thing.
Beautiful story about how in 1981, we dug the audience out with our bare hands from the street.
You got to love him. That's the second time he did it. And just, I think it's better than the first time.
You think it's better?
You added a little more.
Well,
Not too much. No. Just enough.
For me, the second take was always the best take. It's always the best.
You're a second take guy?
Second take guy. The first take, I'm just kind of clearing out the debris.
They call me second take Kelly.
Is that right?
Yeah. I never get past the first take though. I usually don't get the audition. They go, no, that was great. See you later. Thanks. How old are you? 81.
I used to start the show with zero people in the audience because his father made me. And the reason why is because if people stick their heads in the Comedy Cellar and they see nothing going on, they go, there's nothing going on. And they leave. But if there's a guy talking on stage, they go, oh, there's a show.
Yeah.
And they have a shot at least that they'll come in.
That's usually my gigs on the road. They do the same
really?
Thing.
The same thing?
Yeah.
I used to say people would come in the doorway and I would say, this is what we will do for zero people. Imagine what we will do for you.
And what if you did a really good joke, but it was for zero people? Would you do it again?
Sure. I'll do the same these
days.
You
just did for us. This is a shitty podcast in a shit hotel room on the 13th floor, Liz.
Yeah.
I'm on the 13th floor.
You chose it.
Just give me a room at the Mandalay Bay.
I told you that I would have switched rooms with you.
Too soon.
Sorry.
13th floor, though. Mm-hmm. Did they have 13th floors in Vegas? I thought they would eliminate them.
No, they didn't back in 1972 when this building was established. My room was actually made. When this was a new room in 1972, that's when they had it. And then they stopped having it. In his tower, the brand new tower.
Oh, yeah, would they have the king beds?
Yeah, and the jacuzzis.
Oh, do you have a jacuzzi?
Yeah, of course.
I want to go shit. I want to shit.
I have a mini bar.
You know what I used to do, Bill?
I have a TV that comes out of the. You press a button.
If I was ever on the road with somebody who had a better room than me, I would go. I'd go, hey man, let me, and I'd check it out. But this is a great room. Can I use your bathroom? And I'd go piss in their tub.
And this is how you made friends.
This is how we made friends as comics.
Sure.
We were making friends. There's nothing better than getting that phone call. Dude, you're a fucking dick. He's got 20 minutes to get to the show. He's got to clean up the tub.
So you were defending Harvey Weinstein.
What? That is such.
You had a good point.
Such fucking.
Before you turned on the microphone.
That is. I will fucking.
That's for the Patreon.
Vietnamesely. How do you say that word? Vietnamesely. I did not defend Harvey at all. I'm just saying that it is. But wait a second.
But having defended him.
No. Listen.
Vietnamesely.
It's just funny.
And an hour later, you defend him again.
I think that now, I mean, look, these guys came up in a time when all this stuff wasn't acceptable, but put up with or whatever. And now they're getting called out on it. And I'm not saying I think the shit he did, he should get called out on. It's just, you know.
They came up at a time when you could rape a woman.
Look at Mad Men. That's when you could call, hey, broad, get in here and slap your assistant
ago.
Or your on the butt. And there
15
was
15 years ago.
I'm telling you that there's the things you
things that were accepted or put up with back then. Look, we're evolving. We're becoming better people. We're becoming better men. We're treating women. And we've done a lot of shit bad 100 years ago. We're shittier people. We're better people now. And he's getting called out on it. And he should, because he's a fucking predator. And he did some awful shit. And, you know, but like a guy like Ben Affleck.
You're making the same argument they make to defend Columbus Day.
What's Columbus Day? What's wrong with Columbus Day? Well,
there's a big controversy because Columbus came and he was brutal to a lot of people. But in those days, yeah, so that's what they did, you know?
And apparently Columbus molested Ashley Judd. So there's a...
I knew she was old.
I'm telling you.
She looks...
Columbus said to Queen Isabella, give me a ship and I'm going to get my hands on that Ashley Judd rack in a second. Oh, that's right. You just give me a chance, lady. And she didn't want to, but the king, King Ferdinand, you want to learn history or not? King Ferdinand said, listen, bitch, get this guy a ship because he's going to get a piece of Ashley Judd.
I got to turn Bill's mic down a little bit. It's like 1981 and he's got five people just came in the crowd.
I only have two. I on listen, and off. That's all I have.
I'm not saying, look, I'm just saying, do you think there's any truth to that? I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, you're the one who defended him in the first place that actually got me thinking about it. So explain what you said.
I
did not defend him.
Noam said, I was there. He said we should take down the statues of Harvey Weinstein.
Yes.
Right? And put them in a museum.
Yeah. They should take back his Oscars. I think you're wrong. I think that...
I'm wrong?
No, I think you're right that there was like, you're talking about like a kind of a...
All right, that's the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for tuning into YKWD this week. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Again. Shut the thing off. Shut it off! Throw something at that camera.
We're live!
There's like a mad
You're
man.
Not allowed to say he's wrong. That's the thing. You're not allowed
No, he's never said I'm right.
Ever.
Oh. It was like a madman culture.
Yes, yes.
Know, like, you know, we slap a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, that culture... did exist.
I mean, yeah.
It's wrong, but yes. What Harvey Weinstein is accused of
is totally something different.
Was never acceptable.
No, that video of him, anybody who was like, oh my God, maybe that was an excuse. You hear that video, you can hear the sliminess in what he was doing. And to be that powerful, to have that much money, that much influence, it makes it even worse. Because if you're in that position, you shouldn't be that fucked up with yourself and that twisted.
If
what is that?
Is that your phone?
Liz, will you make sure? Is it?
My vibrator is on.
Who is it?
It's on.
It's my wife?
Yeah.
Don't answer it. Okay. Wait. Don't answer it. Don't answer it.
Is
just
gonna see this?
Push it to a thing and shut. Can you swipe up and shut the thing off?
Carefully.
No, because everything is behind the stuff.
What's on?
Is it recording?
Yeah, it's recording.
I can't.
Is it still recording? Is it still recording?
This will be very interesting for the podcast people to see this.
Right.
No, because everything usually that you see.
Hey, Scopo, is it still recording?
Now it is.
Is it recording?
Now it is.
Are the numbers going?
Now it is.
That's the Liz I like. I don't like timid Liz.
Okay, so listen, I don't want to defend Harvey Weinstein, but I will make one point about sex, about life.
Ooh, yes. Here it comes.
You said about sex. Point about sex, first.
Freudian slip. A lot of things can be compared to baseball. Sex is often compared to baseball. However, not in this way. Yes. You know, when you're rounding,
Harvey Weinstein is like baseball.
When you're rounding third base,
yes,
and the coach tells you hold up,
yes, yeah.
Yes,
and you ignore
yes.
the sign,
yeah,
ah. Yes,
and you slide. If you get thrown out of the plate, yes. you're in big trouble.
Aha.
If you're safe, you're a hero.
You win.
Doesn't matter what.
Yes.
So, very often in sex, things like taking out your dick and starting masturbating in front of the, this is really just and the girls. But whoa. Sometimes these things get converted to
yeah.
and the girl changes and then it becomes okay, and then no harm, no foul. Like we all this every day all over the world, no's are converted into yeses.
Yes, but
and one person's rejection
mm-hmm. yes.
was another person's she so you know how these things go.
But
so.
call me old fashioned.
Yeah.
But there's never been a time
old.
Okay.
Old fashioned.
Sorry. You get my point. Like we've all been there. Like uh-huh.
No, we've not all been there. I've never been in a hotel. Have you ever been in a? Okay, you don't have to answer.
Yeah.
I have never been in a hotel room where I've had a conversation or a meeting, or even if it wasn't a business, where I've even been talking to a woman alone in my hotel room, excuse myself to go to the men's room, and come out in a robe with my schlong hanging out.
Yeah, well, you're right. I take it back.
We'll just take, the word hanging out, sticking straight out.
But I got to ask you, it probably did work for him from time to time, but I guess because they were intimidated.
Well, I mean, well, first of all, it's intimidated, and secondly, some girls, you know, sexuality or whatever, they might have been a little more promiscuous. And did I say promiscuous? You know, they might have been, you know, I know girls that don't care, like sex and like to fuck around and like to do crazy stuff. But that girl in that tape, I mean, look, it sounded a little, she had a recording. Anytime somebody's recording something, it's a sting. It's a little sting. Okay, but that sound, like, I don't want to do it. No. And he, come in. No. I mean, she said no. How many fucking times? A girl says no.
No means no.
And it scares the shit out of me because, my instincts were off. I thought we were on the same page sexually, and then I do something. She's like, no. And I'm like, oh, shit. Okay. I thought we were on the same page. Apparently we're not. I get fucking nervous because I don't want to, God forbid you do something that someone didn't want sexually. You're in trouble. You're in fucking trouble.
Also, there's this power differential that was at play. He's this powerful guy and she's not. And if you let a guy like Harvey Weinstein get away with it, then the next thing you know, you're going to have the President of the United States getting blown in the Oval Office. And we can't have something
Wait a minute. That happened.
What?
That happened.
What?
Bill Clinton.
Get out.
I swear.
He wouldn't.
That's so funny, though. It amazes me how...
The best president ever, though.
Well, that goes to what he's saying. If you're a great president, you can get blown in the office.
Listen, if peace...
And your wife will be like, hey...
God. I'm just saying, just ask me this. Have you ever been in some sexual situation with the first...
Oh, I'm sorry. I answered too quickly.
The first answer was no. But then you begged and pleaded or whatever it was, and then you got a yes. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, with my wife around a week ago.
Okay, so.
I was like, it's our anniversary coming up. My birthday's coming up. What other celebration do I need for you to touch my penis? Please.
But she made me a cake. I'm sorry I said I didn't relate to Harvey Weinstein because, again, what he was accused of is over the
top. Yeah,
is
those
just
situations
ridiculous.
Were different. You know, he brought them in under the guise of
there's no way,
a business meeting.
Look, there's no way you
in
can.
In my hotel room.
Yeah.
There's no way you can stick
more
up. There's no way you can stick up for Harvey Weinstein. You can't. You just can't.
No,
you there's can't. No. There's
I think
no
for Bill O'Reilly though, but not Harvey Weinstein.
Well, all right, listen. There's no way you can stick up for him. Just, the stuff that's coming out.
And you know what the real shame of it is, and nobody's saying this because they're too polite, is that he's Jewish. And we don't need that because people don't say, oh, there goes a molester. They go, oh, Jews. You know what I'm saying? And I would say to him, Harvey, if you're going to behave like that, at least take off the yarmulke.
I can't believe you got the cellar off the ground.
I didn't. It's under the ground. We were working hard to get to the gutter.
Can I?
A step.
All right, let's. This is typical, Noam. I wanted to talk about. I was going to talk about. My podcast is very. My podcast is a very lighthearted conversation. I was going to talk about. But Noam comes in and goes, "What do you think about rape?" Back in 5 seconds. What? All right? Jesus. I don't even know what I said about her. I don't even know where if I'm going to get in trouble. listen.
Yeah.
You started the Comedy Cellar.
You can't prove it.
Which is really, I mean, okay, here's what you did, what you were a part of.
Uh-huh.
You started one of the greatest clubs in the world of all time. That's
Thank
it.
You. Thank you.
I mean, think about that sentence. You started one of the greatest clubs of all time in the world. Every comic knows about the Comedy Cellar. The greatest of the greats have played the Comedy Cellar. And, you know, now we're talking 42 shows a week. 43? 42.
Really?
42 shows a week, sold out.
Sold out.
So we're talking 1981, you going, please don't leave.
Yes.
Please. And Rick on the piano, la, 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 come back in and we'll sing, right? Yes. And then to 42 shows a week, sold the fuck out. Three.
From zero people?
From zero people.
So how many people is 40? It's thousands.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
A week.
thousands a week.
Yes.
And not to mention the people they turn away.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's people they turn away. And this is become, if you come to New York City and you like stand-up comedy, you're going to the Cellar. And you're going to try to go to the Cellar. Because if you think you're just going to, how many times have you been out front now? And there's like, can we buy tickets? And the door guy goes, no. You can get on standby.
With the little laugh? With the little laugh?
Well, because it's ridiculous. It's a little ridiculous that he can.
You hear that question a lot.
You know what I mean? And those
we
used times.
We chuckled for the completely opposite reason. Can you buy tickets? Yeah, come on.
What time is the show tonight? What time can you be here?
I mean, who? Give me a list of the comics that would go on a show on a Friday night or Saturday night.
In the early days when we first started?
No, last week. Do you know?
He's not nice. That's what I was telling you about. But go ahead.
That was funny.
Perfectly charming.
Wow. I'm a great guy.
Absolutely.
He's such an ass. Go ahead.
Bill Maher.
Wow.
Rita Rudner.
Oh, my God.
Ron Darien.
Who?
Ron Darien was the funniest of so far, the ones he mentioned, anyway.
Really?
He was really the
wow.
The one everybody looks forward to.
He was a great act, Ron. Ron
really?
Was a great act.
As far as I understand,
Jonathan
I never saw
Solomon.
That classic William Shatner impression.
Yeah.
I think Ron Darien was the first guy to do that.
I would say that, what's his name? Kevin
Pollack.
Pollack. Yeah. Did the Ron Darien with William Shatner, which is derived from the Frank Gorshin William Shatner, which was really influenced by the Will Jordan William Shatner.
You're bullshitting now?
Which was a derivative of the Rich Little William Shatner.
I had never seen Wish. Anyway, let's go. Ron Darien. Sorry.
Yeah, so Ron Darien, Rita Rudner, Bill Maher.
Who's the mean one now?
Gilbert Gottfried.
I didn't interrupt you.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert. What about now? There's like Richard Pryor or Bill Cosby or
the black. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I am sorry.
I don't want to bring
Weinstein's
up
a Jew.
Don't bring up Bill Cosby. We'll be talking about rape again.
Oh, yeah. He was one of the guys that Weinstein, you know.
So, but did these guys come down? Were they around? Did they stop in? Or
they
was
were
that
not
the
around.
Was that at the because that they talk about comedy in the village at the. Can you please get off your phone during the I mean, for one second. That's not funny.
His wife?
You don't want
his
to trigger me on
you?
Listen, you don't trigger me on my wife stuff. I'm half Italian, half Irish from Boston. You don't step on the wife thing.
Doesn't mean it's not funny.
No, that's actually true. What's this is what makes me sick. This is what makes me sick about Noam. It makes me sick to my stomach. He's one of the funniest guys I know. It makes me sick that his father passed down his sense of humor to Noam, because if he's just he's just a motherfucker, but he's one of the fastest, funniest assholes I know. Because he'll say something, you're like, you motherfucker. And then you think about it, you're like, that was a fucking real good one. God damn it, that son of a bitch. The club owner shouldn't be funny. That's my rule. But he is.
Thank you, Robert.
So,
so those guys came, the Cosbys, the Pryors, the village that those guys used to talk about,
yes.
Like the Café Wa,
okay.
Which was a different Wa than that Wa.
Right.
And the Bitter End.
Okay.
Yeah, and the Bitter End.
And the Village Gate.
Right.
That was the 60s.
Oh, right. Okay.
That was the 60s, maybe into the early 70s.
But, right.
The Wa closed 68, so it really was the 60s. Like
the 60s.
What made you want to start a club? What did you see down there that you're like, oh, we do a comedy? Were you not getting in at the Improv and the other clubs? No, seriously. Was this alternative comedy? Yeah. Eugene Merman explains that alternative comedy wasn't a different style of comedy. It was just we were doing the same comedy. It's just we were doing it at alternative venues because the Comedy Cellar and Caroline's wouldn't let us perform. So right. We had to find a place. Was that what the Cellar was? Like, let me find a place where I can get up whenever I want and do my thing?
I would say there's an element of that, Although, right from the beginning, I said, this has to be a business. Oh, my ride's here. This has... See, it never leaves you.
Yeah.
Right from the beginning, I respected the fact that it needed to be a business.
Yeah.
Because that it couldn't exist for my jollies.
Right.
And that would have to be the number one thing.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, that actually hurt me as a performer. In ways that I can get back to.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, it was not the first comedy club that I started. The first comedy club that I started, because I go way back now, in Boston. I was living in Boston.
No way.
Yeah. And there was, and I was looking for a place to start in Boston because there was, and that was in the days where there were no places. Barkley and Downs had the comedy connection
yeah,
in Boston.
I know that. Yeah.
And that was it.
Okay.
And so I said, well, gee, maybe there's room for another comedy club. And there was a place called the Springfield Street Saloon that was a chuck wagon Western restaurant
right.
with wagon wheels and stage coaches. And
they had it.
Right? And yep. they had a back room, a party room.
Uh-huh.
And that was my first one.
Right.
And I put Stephen Wright on
wow.
for the very first time any place.
Wow.
And the audience just stared at him.
All right.
But, you know, he was just starting.
Yeah.
And Mitch Kapor, who went on to develop Lotus 1-2-3 and wow. make $1 billion.
Wow.
Which I take credit for because...
Lotus the software?
Yeah. Oh. Because I told Mitch, listen...
He's whipped up now.
Yeah. Lotus the software?
Software? Like if you...
Lotus was a big deal.
If you, yeah, it was a big deal.
If you told me the guy who invented porn, I put the guy who invented porn, I'd be like, what?
That's right. And that's how it's...
Gary Saunders?
Well, no, but he
said... him a Jew, by the way, for you guys.
Well, it is kind of porn because it's software. Oh. But seriously. My point, and I have one. My point.
Were you a sweat hog at any time in your life?
My wife insists that I was.
Okay. Ow.
Oh, but yours said nothing about it. Ow.
What did I tell you about my wife? What did I tell you about?
I know. But he got away with it. I thought maybe.
Yeah.
No. Just,
he knows my wife.
I understand, and I'm not saying who doesn't. No, but not. That's not the point. That's not the point.
That's a good one. If it's a good one, I gotta let it go.
He scored.
That's right. Hey, all right.
They didn't get, my
yeah, but now I picture him grabbing my wife's tit,
scored, it's funny.
Finger popping my wife.
And then,
all right, so you and your baseball terminology.
Good analogy for a lot of things. a lot of misdeeds can be cleansed after the fact if it turns out right.
Yeah, if Harvey just had a sense of humor.
So go ahead, Stephen Wright.
Stephen,
you're really starting at the beginning here, so we gotta get moving.
Yeah. We're doing an hour, okay?
Mitch Kapor. Oh, Mitch Kapor.
Why do you didn't have any crowd back then?
I'm still where you're fromming. I'm still
where you're fromming.
So Mitch Kapor, who invented Lotus 1-2-3, the software, I take credit for the development of that because I said to him, Mitch, the comedy thing is not for you. And and he quit. He was hurt, but he went and he focused on where he should have focused. So I take credit. Anyway, and so that became the Ding Ho.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Jeez, dude, you have the Midas touch.
I mean,
you're
the
guy who created. I mean, the Ding Ho, for all you dingbats out there who don't know, is where the greatest comics from Boston came from. I mean, that's the spot. And now you're talking about that, which is, I mean, in the history of comedy, is fucking up there. And now the Comedy Cellar. I mean, you're the guy.
I'm the guy.
You should be the guy that opens every... people should pay you to go in and survey, like, no comedy club here. Like, no, you could put a comedy club. Yeah,
where do I feel it?
Yeah, you walk into a place, they have a brand new room, but you're like, no, we need to put the comedy club where the Dairy Queen is. That's where it's going to be a hot spot.
That's
in the back.
That's exactly right.
Wow, that's crazy.
And then I had a radio show in Boston, and things were going okay, and the little club, but then I moved to New York, started a place on the Upper West Side, which I hear Jerry is going to buy. It was the Dallas Jones Swiss Chalet Barbecue on 72nd Street in the West
Side. Well, no, it's actually called the West Side Comedy Club. Isn't
He's
that it?
He's talking about West Side in the Park.
Oh.
Like on 72nd.
But I heard Jerry wasn't buying it.
And oh, he's not going to buy it?
Well, no. Of course, you
know. Junior, because it scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah,
please
don't do this on my podcast.
Please. Oh. Don't
give us inside information that you know, because it's going to ruin the whole trip.
What's he going to do there?
Oh, God.
Strip club?
Jerry's doing a strip club.
Barbecue joint?
How many pieces is it?
He's doing a strip club.
Anyway. So I did it.
My side hurts.
You text Colin Quinn right now and ask him to text Jerry right now.
No, he's not. Go ahead.
So there was a little room on the Upper West Side.
Yes.
And it was the party room. And that's where we started with. We started with Bill Maher and Rita and Darian.
Wow.
And Jonathan Solomon and Gabe Abelson.
That's a comic name you don't hear anymore. Gabe. Used to be a few Gabes in comedy.
Now it's Gabriel.
Yeah, what happened to the name Gabe? I want to bring it back. You should have another kid. Name it Gabe.
I had a vasectomy.
Oh, jeez.
Jeff
you're
Stilson.
You're really adding just sunshine to this podcast. Bring up Harvey Weinstein, you vasectomy, you're bumming out about a new comedy club.
It's not happening.
Jeff Stilson, you remember Jeff Stilson?
Oh, hello.
Oh, are you bumming about the thing?
Of course I'm bumming about it.
What have I done?
Yes.
Why? What did I do?
Where did you hear that Jerry's doing that?
I would rather he be here. I mean, if you don't want it to be a surprise if it's true.
I'd rather hear it from me on a podcast in front of everybody.
Where did you hear it?
Well, you can cut that out.
No, I'm not cutting any of this out.
Do you think this is true?
I don't know. I heard a rumor.
Who did you
so it's a rumor. Jerry?
When did you hear it?
Jerry?
From whom?
Did Jerry call you?
When I was in New York.
I think
somebody said it to me.
It might have been from Natterman.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't. Was it Natterman?
It was Natterman.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Then, there you go. Yeah, anything out of Natterman's mouth, he's okay with. He knows it's a lie.
I don't know.
It's all right. Don't worry about it. I was having lunch with Jerry. He told me.
The reason I think he might not do it is because he's such good friends with Chris Mazzilli at Gotham. They're like pals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if he would want to become a competitor to his friend.
Yeah.
He doesn't need the money.
Yeah.
Maybe he has a different concept of something that he thinks is...
Oh. Well, there you go. And there goes this podcast. So anyways, it was Natterman. So anyways, back to you.
So then
did you give Jerry the blessing?
I didn't talk to him about it. And then it was kind of working, kind of not. But we had a couple of good reviews, like the New York Post and a couple of places gave us good reviews.
Right.
So then I said it's not happening.
Right.
So I said, where else can I go?
Yeah.
And I called Dom Irrera.
Yeah.
You know Dom.
I love Dom.
So I called Dom
Irrera. Bada bing.
Bada boom. And I said to Dom, I said, where else should I go? He said, why don't you go to the Village? There's a ton of people down there. So I went down to the Village and I looked for places that had an upstairs, a downstairs, a back, a something. Yeah. And then I walked past the Comedy Cellar like three times because in those days it was not – the welcoming kind of place. It was a staircase, and who the hell knows what's going on down there?
Well, it's still a little. You know, I give people credit to walk down those stairs. All these just chubby foreigners making their way down that steep angled staircase.
In those days, actually, the sign was a little bit lower.
Was it?
Would always bang their heads.
I remember that. When did you upgrade?
we did it. My father's still alive.
The sign.
But it was a price tag because the open picture windows in the olive tree open out, they were much bigger. And we had to make them smaller in order to accommodate the signs.
Really? Wow.
See, there's a lot that goes into this. Yeah. People think, oh, you just book comics. Well, there's a lot that goes into it.
Let me just fast forward a little bit. You go in and you meet Manny. And you have to persuade him, or is it easy?
I walked in. I had the reviews with me.
That's great.
And I said, what are you doing with the room downstairs?
Right.
And he said, it's a Brazilian piano bar.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah, Billy Blanco, right?
Yeah, Billy Blanco and Anna was the other girl. I forget her last name.
She was
there a little rugrat running around going, me, 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 me?
No.
No, okay. come on. I made Liz laugh. I don't care. That's my audience.
Your role, Lauren, will laugh at anything you say.
Whoa! She's your Liz, road Liz.
So you met my father.
Yes. This is the problem with having somebody like Noam on the podcast. He loses as soon as it's not about rape or politics. Go ahead.
It's about my father.
All right, go ahead. Well, act a little interested.
I want to say that because I know that my father took to Bill immediately because they both came from kind of the same Yiddish culture. So my family were like kindred spirits in that.
Yes.
So it's true that a lot of things, a lot of success that Jews have is because it's like,
Yeah, they keep it in the family.
Yeah, keep it in the family.
They keep it in the family.
Yeah, they keep it in the family.
I thought you brought your lawyer.
it really was that. He really liked that. He actually couldn't get that from me.
Really? So you.
So I said to him, I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Brazilian piano bar." And I repressed that reaction. Yeah. That, like, really? Yeah. I repressed that.
Right.
I said, "Okay, well, what time does it start?"
Could you imagine if he just was like, "No, Brazilian piano, it's gonna work. It's gonna work."
It actually was
forever.
Working.
Yeah, it worked.
Well, it was working. And I said, "Well, what time do you get busy?" He says, "Like 10 o'clock." I said, "Okay." And I showed him the reviews. Yeah. I said, "I want to do a comedy room.
Yeah.
And we'll start at 8 o'clock. And we'll be out by the time the Brazilian piano bar starts."
Yeah.
"And if any of your people come early, they can stay. They can come early. There's something going on. The room's live."
Yeah.
"Right? And if any of our people want to stay, they can stay."
Yeah.
"And then we'll do a cover. We'll do a minimum." And then et cetera, et cetera. And then he said, "I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but it sounds like I can't lose."
Wow.
And I said, "Yeah, you can't lose. Are we going to win a lot? I don't know. Are we going to win a little? I don't know. But we can't lose because there's no way to lose." And so that's how the whole thing started.
Now, let me ask you this. Now, how old were you when this happened? How old?
I was like 20.
Now, did you go down and see the comedy and go, "What the fuck is this?"
19.
Were you like, "What are they doing down here, Dad?" I mean, you saw the Brazilian piano bar. Did you go down
once? I still don't really
know. Nobody
came in. His daughter came in not so long ago.
Nobody likes Brazil. Nobody. All right, listen. I could put a donkey rides in front of the cellar, be hit for a month.
A lot of Brazilian girls dancing around.
I'm in. I'm sorry. Let's do it. Hey, can we do? Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back at the Pussycat. One more show. Let's do it every Wednesday.
Big market for Brazilian music.
All right, move on. Were you excited about the?
No, I wasn't excited about it.
Really?
No, but I was in college. I wasn't really.
You didn't the comedy. So they had these guys down there doing comedy. Now, did you know it? No one was famous at that. The people that you were bringing down weren't famous at the time.
Not at all. All I wanted to do was be like the fourth room in Manhattan. There was the Strip. There was Catch. There was the improv. I just wanted to be the fourth room. I just wanted to eke out, some kind of business, some kind of living. Didn't expect this.
But did it ever come to fruition while you were there?
Yeah. Oh, we started selling out shows on Saturday, and then
now what was
multiple shows and Friday and that. But nothing like what Noam and Liz and Esty have done since I left.
Yeah, let's just say Noam because we'll all have to hear about it.
There was one bone of contention between him and my father, and. And I don't know that Bill was wrong, but history proved him wrong, but he might not have been wrong at the time that he was saying this. Things may have changed.
Yeah.
To be fair to Bill. But Bill always regarded the weeknights as a lost cause. Bill very much felt that the weekends were the show.
Yeah.
And during the week, it was whatever you could do.
Yeah.
And my father said, "No, I want." So it was always like friction about getting the best names to come down during the week.
Right?
You remember this, right?
No, I don't remember any of this.
Yeah.
No.
So it used to bug my father, but it was many, many years before the weeknights actually started kicking in. So I don't know that it was possible at the time that Bill was there.
I think. Well, it's funny because you. I mean, to do comics instinctually, you work weekends. Yep. So it's in your brain, you work weekends. You do spots during the week at crappy places just to work stuff up, or you go on the road and you work weekends. So it makes sense what you're saying from a comics point of view, but there is these uncanny, his father did have these things that he would implement. He'd be like, "Ugh, what the fuck is that?" And it worked.
His father was a natural showman and a natural impresario.
Yeah.
And even though comedy was a new genre for him, the basic physics of show business cross all genres. And
That's right.
Had a long history of being a showman in that neighborhood, in that milieu. And he...
You just used like nine
Absolutely.
Big words.
What?
Nine big words.
I just used nine.
I mean nine.
One of them wasn't even English.
Genre. What was the last one?
Genre. That's
genre and milieu.
Milieu.
Oh, two French words. Wow. Maybe Weinstein wants to fuck me.
And it's not Weinstein.
Oh, well. You know, the French thing makes people crazy.
In need of a great talent for your business, but short on time? You don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find the perfect hire. You just need the right tools, smarter tools. What if hiring could be easier, more streamlined, and less time consuming? So even when you're busy, you can still be smart about the way you hire. If you're hiring, you know that quality hires can keep your business moving forward, but you also know it takes a lot of time to find the right candidate for the job. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Look, when I hire people for this podcast, it's mind-numbing, because if they mess up, my show gets messed up. If they fall behind, my show falls behind. So finding the right person to work for you can suck. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading boards with just one click. So you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting, so you receive the best possible matches. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidate finding you. It finds them. I thought this was cool. You can even get ahead of your interviewing process by adding screening questions to your job post to help identify the most qualified candidates. So you don't have to waste time sorting through a stack of resumes to find the perfect fit. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And the easy-to-use ZipRecruiter dashboard lets you manage your hiring process from start to finish, all in one. ZipRecruiter, the smarter way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/whatdude. That's ZipRecruiter.com/whatdude. One more time, check it out for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/whatdude.
So here you are. You open this up. What makes you go bye-bye? What makes you let this up?
Why did you leave?
You made money.
He just up and left.
Oh, that's a story.
He really up and left.
Nah, here's the story.
Did you get a gig?
No. It was the first time going to Los Angeles.
I don't know if Bill's still bitter about this, but there was at one time Bill did want to become a partner.
Yes.
And we can talk about this, right? It doesn't matter now.
Well, it doesn't matter now. I'll be dead in 22 years. Who cares?
22.
Again, that's how Jews are. We're very actuarial.
I have term life insurance, and I wanted to save a couple $100. I'm only good till January of 2041.
And my father didn't. My father did not believe in partners because he had a very, very bad experience.
Very bad experience.
Yes.
And so they couldn't come to terms on that. And I think at that point, maybe Bill then began to look for other options. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I felt like I was at a crossroads.
Uh-huh.
I had done some interesting things.
Hang on one second. Just pause. Shut the phone off.
Is that Dawn?
Just shut the phone off.
You want me to text her while you're doing this? I'll tell her we're doing podcast.
No, just shut the
phone.
Take it out. Just take it out. Unscrew the back, and then now just slide it up, and then
I'm holding this position for no reason at all.
Yeah, just hold that position. You don't have to hold that position.
Oh.
It's not the old days. It's not film.
I'm a very disciplined performer. I can hold this position as
you
long
got
as
it?
You need.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm okay. Sorry, Liz. Thank you very much.
Okay. So
did you
ahead.
Hit record?
Yes, it's recording.
Okay, great.
Are
we're back.
Sure?
Okay. Yeah, okay, good.
Because you're at a crossroads.
You're at a crossroads.
So I was crossroads. And
yes.
I had been doing some interesting things in addition to the Comedy Cellar.
Yes.
I had a radio show on WNBC in New York yep. where I was on Saturday and Sunday afternoons.
The Wild Bill Grunfest Show.
The Wild Bill Grunfest Show, which some people still actually remember. That, like even in L.A., people say, are you the guy?
With his wife.
With Oh, let's... No. So...
she was the co-host.
So,
she was the brains in that album.
No,
she was some
the
organ,
best.
But
he's the best.
You know,
he's the worst, but he's the best. I'm just glad it's on you, not me.
I'm half Irish and half Italian, so don't fuck with his wife. Wait, that came out wrong. It's something like that, I'm pretty sure. And if I was tougher, I would know.
So you and your wife had a radio show.
No, would you leave it?
Was.
So it was Saturday and Sunday afternoons from 2 to 7, and then also I would sit in. I would fill in when Don Imus was gone, or Super
wow.
Sales was gone, or Joey Reynolds was
wow.
gone. And I would do all of that.
Right.
So it was a great gig. Right?
Yeah.
And then I was doing...
now, you're running the cellar. Are you picking the...
Yes.
Are you making...
Yes.
So they had to go through you.
Everything.
You were the gatekeeper.
Yes, I was the gatekeeper.
You had a lot of power. You were wielding a lot of power. Now,
yes.
Did you wield it in the right way?
Yes. Yes,
or
did
you ever take advantage of it?
Like
a Lucian.
Harvey Weinstein?
Like a yeah. Hey, Kelly, come in here. No, just massage me.
Yeah.
You want spots on Saturday?
No, it would be to Kelly Rogers that I would be saying that. And put down the guitar and, you know.
Nobody knows who that is.
Yeah.
Mind bombed. You should have just let it die.
Didn't you and Rita Rudner have a...
No.
You fucked Rita Rudner?
No.
Oh, so it's an exclusive.
Although, let me say that Rita is just...
Has
most
great boobs.
Great, just most graceful, you know, person.
Yeah.
Most graceful female comedian that's ever been on a stage. And the most disciplined writer. She, even those... She has a dancer's mentality. She was a dancer. You know, a Broadway show level dancer.
I was too. Go ahead.
Okay. And she would have the composition notebooks... And she'd always be writing jokes. She took that same dancer's discipline to joke writing.
Yeah.
And she had that same point of view always.
Right.
The one that she has now, she had back then.
Okay, so did you or didn't you?
No!
Did you make out with her?
No!
Nothing at all? You shared an apartment with her, didn't you?
No! I sublet her apartment from her and didn't change any of the decor. And so, you know, when women came over, they thought I was half a fruit, you know.
Yeah, half a fruit. You're all fruity. There's no half a fruit.
It's a fruit bowl.
Yeah, you have evening gowns hanging in the closet. You're not half a fruit.
I'm the whole produce section.
Let me ask you, so you had all this power. You were running this. You had all this stuff going on in New York City.
No, I'll tell you, we did the exact opposite. And Manny was on the same page with me right from the beginning.
Yes.
We did the exact opposite. The reason what, to me... The DNA of the club boils down to how we treated, respected, liked the comedians.
Yes.
I mean, it boils down to that.
It goes down. Let me tell you, from a comedian who works there now and has, I think, almost 20 years, might be, it comes down from the top.
Yes.
Okay, so when the door guy treats me with respect, when the waitress treats me with respect, even if they don't fucking wanna, they do. It's because the owners and the managers, everybody's like, look, you fucking treat these guys good. Not that we can, you know, get out of line or be assholes, but you go to some clubs, they don't give a fuck when you're on stage. The manager doesn't give a shit about you. They just don't fucking care. And if you care about the comedians care about the club, they're loyal to the club, the greatest comedians want to work there, then you have the greatest shows ever. And it's this culmination of that. So that's interesting that you say that.
It was right from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And like when I would say to guys, hey, come down, I know it's a schlep to come down from the improv, you know. So we're going to pay you, a little bit more than the other clubs.
Which they do too.
That's right.
Right.
And so it started right then.
Yeah.
Going to pay you a little more than the other clubs. Still not going to pay you what you're actually worth.
Yeah.
But going to pay you more.
Yeah. So you're not, you gave them, you know, what was it? $0.10 a show.
$0.10 a dance. And also, we said, as opposed to like some of the uptown clubs where you can you get a one drink ticket and you can order anything from this 16th part of the menu, we said, come down, eat, drink. This is your place.
Having a gig at the Cellar when I first moved to New York was dinner. I mean, getting in at the Cellar to go down and have chicken kebab with rice and Israeli salad and a drink and a and it was like free. It was like, oh my God. It was.
Are they planning a restaurant at Seinfeld's Club? You don't know. I'm just curious.
On my mind.
Natterman
just called. Natterman just called. He said he was wrong, and he was wrong to tell me and spread such rumor.
So here you go.
So I said,
but now, did you know Noam back then?
Yeah. I knew him because.
Okay, but here's my. Did you like him?
Yes. You want to know something? Yeah. I don't know that I ever said this to you. Oh. There were.
He didn't say it yet. Let him say it. He, it might not be good.
No, but there were times where, you know, fathers and sons have their, you know, their
fights.
Moments,
friction. Yeah.
And he would say Manny would say something to me, whatever. And I would say, hey, you know, relax.
Yeah.
It's your son. And by the way, he's your son.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to give him some slack, some understanding, because he's got a little bit of you in him. So, you know, where's that going to go?
Yeah.
So let's just all relax and, you know.
Yes.
So thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
I mean, I don't know what you're thanking him for. He
tried to tell my father to ease up on me a little bit.
Oh, all right.
You know, there's an old rabbinical story.
So he says. If your father was alive, he'd probably have. No, I'm kidding.
There's a rabbinical story about an old rabbi in the 1800s, who, and he was in the marketplace, and his. I can't believe I'm.
This is the first rabbinical story on any YK
ever.
Ever.
Go look up rabbinical. Pause right now and say, Siri, what does rabbinical mean? But you have to say it like this: rabbinical.
It's next to genre and milieu. And so he was in the marketplace, and his student said, Rabbi, is there anybody here in the marketplace who's guaranteed a place in heaven?
Yes.
And the rabbi looks around, and he says, no. And then two guys walk in, and they've dressed weird, and they don't have fringes on their clothes. Yeah. And he says, those two. And so the students run over and go, what do you do? And they say, we're comedians, and we make, if people are sad, we make them laugh.
Yeah.
And when there are quarrels, we try to bring peace.
Yeah.
And so even the rabbis taught that comedians are guaranteed a place in heaven.
Is this true? Oh, thank God. I've done so much bad shit. With all this Weinstein stuff coming up, I'm like, I'm going to hell.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, it is true. As a matter of fact, my rabbi made this part of his sermon on Yom Kippur, which we just had.
Let's get off your phone, would you? Get off the phone for 10 seconds. Don't leave. Don't leave.
13:10.
So,
and then in 1982.
Yes.
And then in fourth grade.
But here. What are you knocking with? Your eyebrows?
Ow!
Come on here.
We're right back.
Oh, God.
No wonder.
This is. Mark Cohen just showed up.
Hi,
everybody. Sit down. Sit down over here. Sit right here. Sit right there. Liz, let him have that. No, sit over here. No. Sit right here.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hi,
buddy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, my God. This is. I feel like I'm in a bar mitzvah right now. Are we at Jewish camp?
It's almost a minion.
We're at Camp Owlcrest right now.
Just telling a rabbinical story.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Move down here. Move over here. Move down here. You got to get in the camera.
Let me check. Harvey, take another look.
You said a mouthful.
Jeez. They got a Jewish foster father for 3 years. I'd be uncomfortable right now.
What's that?
No, we are. We're videotaping right there.
In there.
Oh, we are.
Wait, I'm not in the shot. Wait a second. Now.
No, you're in the shot.
In the shot.
All right, now you're like my foster father.
Back
up a little bit.
That's too much. Oh, now I'm uncomfortable.
I make a good living.
Oh, Jesus, man. I knew if.
I knew once Mark came in, the speed on this podcast.
Who is
gonna...
this Jesus you speak of?
All right, listen. So we're all the way up to where
fourth grade,
where he started. The comedy seller, and he had all the things going on, and him and Manny, he wanted a piece or be a partner. Manny was basically like, no, he saved Noam and Manny's relationship numerous times.
I'm not crazy. I'm just said that in the balance of things that goes back to the rabbinical story, yeah, that people who, while I know we're all a bunch of comedy whores, but in terms of actually believing in what one does, I feel like if I could cure cancer, I'd be out someplace in a lab curing cancer. I can't cure cancer.
Come on, I think the rabbis hadn't heard Robert's act.
Yeah, I don't think
they ever heard the dick jokes and the blowing of my asshole.
Well, listen, I blew it.
You've been writing?
Hang on. That's a great joke. That's a great joke. And I did it because I love my son. Don't take that out of context. See the joke before you write that blog. On that one.
I'm not sure what context that would work in, but go ahead.
Well, he had baby rash. All right, so you started the comedy set. Now this thing. Now, Mark, you were there when he was there, or did you come after?
I was there pretty close, but you had already been going for a little bit.
Yeah. No, he's asking if you came to the Comedy Cellar after I'd left.
Yes, as a matter of fact. But I
you came to the Comedy Cellar while I was still
correct,
there.
Right.
Yes,
but you weren't there the first night I was there. Esty was there.
Esty
called another club,
right?
Say
yes,
and they sent me down.
Yes,
and it worked out good for like 2 weeks.
And then Rick got.
And then I got in trouble with Rick Crumb.
Why? What'd you do?
I don't
know. Oh, what'd you do?
I didn't really do anything. Remember Queen of the Road? I used to do Queen of the Road.
Wasn't that Rick?
That's Queen of the Load.
See, I made it funny. I didn't go to the gutter. No. He went right to the gutter. Who's going to hell now? Go ahead.
But so he thought he didn't know where it was coming from. He thought I was against the homosexuals, as they speak.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I was actually kicked out of the cellar for a little while.
Really?
Yeah.
But then you and Rick became fast friends.
We were very good friends. Now, it was a misunderstanding.
Can you say hissy fit? Rick, like, my father never...
You can say hissy fit. You can't say sissy fit.
my father always defended you. And
at
so
that
his
point,
girlfriend,
yeah.
Claudie. Claudie was a big Mark Cohen fan.
Your father had a girlfriend?
Yeah. This is before Ava.
Did you turn the mic off? Did Liz turn it off with her thumb?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't. You were actually banned.
Esty said don't come by anymore.
Oh my god!
For like a couple of weeks, I don't know
gay
how
jokes,
it ended.
Gay jokes.
But you sure that was because of something that, or she didn't see your set?
She said Sheka Bavakasha for the 50th time this week. No good.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, really?
Google that too. Sheka Bavakasha.
Jews. It wasn't. So it sounds worse than it was, but that really. What
so now, so was the seller? Can you get off your phone? You're like a 13-year-old girl.
It's somebody texting me about a comedian,
right?
And all I could read so far was it was consensual.
Oh.
I swear to God. But okay, we'll talk about it later.
No. Wait.
Let me.
I can't talk about it.
Of course you can.
That's what Harvey Weinstein used to say. Let me finish.
But So I asked somebody who used to work there, like, do you remember when you was that okay? That Harvey Weinstein reminded me. She said, no, it was consensual.
Well, you did.
And it wasn't me.
Oh, sorry.
What, some comedian and some girl did? And
really?
She said it was consensual?
Yeah. I was just checking. It's years ago.
Okay, so listen.
Do I know the girl?
Yeah.
Do I know the girl?
Yes.
Do I know the comedian?
Yes.
Really?
It rhymes with, you're going to do that to us?
It rhymes with Booey DK.
Booey DK. Booey DK.
As long as it doesn't rhyme with...
Booey... Keith Robinson? What?
As long as it doesn't rhyme with Blondell Herodin.
You've out-referenced the couch.
And this couch knows how to reference.
We know it's not Tick Chrome. Oh, sorry. I just said his name. Listen. So now the Comedy Cellar's popping right now, right?
Yeah.
It's killing. You come in.
It wasn't.
So it wasn't killing.
It was doing all
well,
right.
Well, when I
you were doing good.
When I left.
Yes.
We were doing.
Did you leave on good terms?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, Manny's
pumping when I started there, yeah. It was jam until.
Yeah.
We were doing three shows on Saturday.
Yeah.
Michael, doing
that's how you talk.
Three shows, like this. Two shows on Friday, three shows on Saturday,
yes.
Two shows on Friday,
yes.
And then one long show every other night of the week, like a continuous show.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's what they used to have when I started at the Cellar. I remember she would call you up to host, and you'd want to cry because it was from 9
till 2
to 2, unless Godfrey was on the last spot, then it was 9 to 3 because he would ignore the light. And then 20 minutes over the light, and you'd flick it on off. He goes, "Oh, did you give me the light?" I started lighting his money on fire. I would hold his money in the thing, and I'd light it on fire.
But you want to know something about those long hours?
Yes.
Some people turn that to their advantage.
It was school.
It's 10,000 hours.
Yeah,
that's right.
It was more than that. Actually, it was pretty good to MC.
And John Stewart, as a matter of fact, look that up too.
Stewart.
John Stewart.
Is he Jewish too?
He is. And he actually told us to the LA Times. They did an interview with him, and among the things that he talked about was how I would give him midnight to 2 to host.
Yeah,
and he said that's when he really learned the most.
That's when he came up with Yidlock.
Google that. Do you have a Torah?
But the funny thing was, in New York...
Can I say something to that?
Yes.
I agree with that, because I used to have to do 9 to 2, and it was just when you first got it, you're like, oh, my God. But halfway through a two-year stint of hosting, I was like, oh, I'm going to kill myself. And then Tom Pop actually told me that it's the best because you're learning how to go up fresh, cold crowd, get them, let them go, and then have somebody murder, go back up, get them again, mm-hmm. let them go. Go with somebody, now somebody bombs, you got to get them, let them go. And you had to learn how to let a crowd go when you got them and get them back.
And give up your ego to the show.
Give up your ego to the show.
I learned that part, but...
It taught me...
If you were going to learn that, that would have been a good plan.
I did learn that, because by... By
debatable.
It's not debatable. Says the man with the biggest ego in the room. Okay,
I didn't say it.
But the weird thing is when you go from New York to LA, I was like, hey, let me MC, and they're like, okay. And then I get a call from some of the managers like, don't MC at the clubs in LA because you'll be the MC.
Yeah.
The MC is like the worst guy on the show. I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Should be the best guy or one of the, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
No, but you know what I mean? It should be somebody that can do what you said.
That's right. Get them back.
Yeah. But people always hate hosting, but it's like even on the road, I always say the middler is the worst spot because it's the best spot. You do 20 minutes. It doesn't matter. You'll kill at your best 20. No weight of the show's on you're not selling tickets, you're not opening up the room, you don't have to go. The host is the hardest, but you learn the most because you have to learn how to control that massive crowd and get them, and as soon as you get them, let them go to the next guy.
I love the middle though, that's on the road and is just spend the whole week trying to bury you, the headliner. It's like, you know, I'm gonna get so I can headline.
I like that too. Never happens.
They look horrible.
The road. We do the road.
No, that's the place outside of New York City.
Yeah, outside. Yes.
Got it. That's
no. No. Sleep.
What are you doing, Noam?
I have shit going on.
What do you have going on, Noam?
Somebody else is getting.
I mean, you're on the.
Somebody else is
calling. Says help.
Well,
I'm at the door.
No.
Help.
Noam has. Look at. Noam has a lot of stuff going on.
You wouldn't let me check my phone the whole time. That's why you're stuck out there.
I've been there since 9 this morning. What time?
Just knock on the door.
On the phone, you're screaming at me. He's outside trying to get in.
Well, and I heard you guys are having a good time.
You must have heard us laughing.
I heard the fake laughter.
That was from him. Listen. Well, I mean, now you. I just want to. We're going to wrap this up now.
Why?
I can talk.
Well, we're having such a good time
because Noam is deteriorating. I know Noam.
You don't need me. You guys.
No,
are great.
No, because I need you because we're getting into your era. We're going to be getting into your era.
Get to it.
I'm trying to.
1940s?
These fucking Mule and Quims want to just yap. I hosted. It was 2 to 9. And then I came in. And I took the thing over. And then I'm kidding.
I want to say this.
Yeah,
when
please.
Bill left. We didn't know. And
was
it like, is there life after Bill Grunfest? Like, what are we going to do? Like, there was a... most people probably thought we were done.
Right.
Just for the record.
Yes.
That's how. That's
but instead,
how,
the business bloomed.
It turns out
it was unbelievable.
It you, was, nothing ever happened.
It was holding you back for the 20 yeah. years.
You were a weight on Manny's chest.
It, turned out it was a big silver lining.
The 90s.
But at the time,
Rick became funny.
At the time, Bill was, you know, so, Bill had an illusion of such. I don't call it an illusion, but Bill had the whatever. Like, we thought he was really important. Yes.
You said illusion. You said illusion.
I didn't know Rick was gay. What? Listen to me. I swear to God, I didn't know he was gay for the
first. He wasn't
first,
gay when I was fucking
for the first 2 weeks.
the first 3 years I was working at the cellar, and then Pete Corley comes off stage one night. He goes, "Jesus, guy's gay," and I go, "Rick, he's gay." He goes, "Dude," and he points in. Rick's going, "You can sacrifice your sack row, sitting in the back row." And I was like, "Oh my God, I never knew it."
You know, Gator, it goes off when he's alone.
Beep beep beep. I'm sorry, that's just my Gator. No,
so I only meant that to say that Bill was really the man. Like, yeah. It was really like there was everybody had yeah. to figure out how we're going to recover from Bill.
Right. It was Zucker before Rick, though, right?
Yes,
before Rick.
Charles Zucker was there for a year.
Who was great.
He was great. He was great.
Yeah.
But
where did you go?
I went to LA.
LA.
I went to LA.
And you. What happened? You became a writer on a show, correct?
Yeah. What happened was this. Before I left, I had done a couple.
Don't
specials.
Rush him, Robert.
Liz, I've only
there in his own time.
I've been talking for 90 minutes.
You were still the rabbinical story. Go ahead.
I like his words. I had done a couple. And then in fifth grade, I had done a couple of.
One time,
you were in one of my specials.
Yes,
yes.
The chicken
that ate Christmas. I did a couple of specials for VH1.
Yes.
VH1 wanted to do, because I had the radio show on NBC.
Yes.
Right? I had the Comedy Cellar.
Yes.
Right? And VH1 started becoming interested. Oh, right. Let's do a comedy special. Let's do on you.
Right.
Well, so yeah. I never told you. So how else are you going to find out? So
why do you turn into a rabbi? What are you going to know? Never going to do it. I'll tell you right now if you shut your face.
Phil actually has to become less Jewish to impersonate a rabbi.
Tone it down. Tone it down. Again.
So.
So
they wanted me to do a comedy special, right? Yes. I said, great idea. But here's the problem was I knew something they didn't know, which is I had no act. And
how do you not have an act? You open up the cellar.
It wouldn't withstand. I did not feel that my act would withstand the scrutiny of a stand-up special.
Because you were a host.
I was
the essence of a host, too,
yes,
but in a good way.
I was an entertainer. I didn't have, you know, I never became as good as I wanted to be.
Right.
So, as a comic.
Yeah.
Still. But my point is this. And so we did the first special. I said, how about this? Yeah. For the same amount of money that you're going to spend on the stand-up, right, I'll write a whole script, and it'll be a thing, and it'll be like a romantic comedy. And I wrote this thing. And Jessica Tuck, who was a soap opera star at the time, she was like, it was like a Harry Met Sally thing. And we used the music videos in the course of telling the story. And it went great.
You were like writing it as it was going, right? Do I remember that correctly? I might be wrong.
Well, you know, you have to adjust as you go. But so that went really well, and they gave me a second one that Mark was in. It was called The Chicken That Ate Christmas.
Oh, okay.
And it was it was about a guy, a real asshole. Like a real, I played the asshole.
Okay.
Typecasting. Yeah. And he's about a guy who worked for a chemical waste company.
Have you been dying to tell this story for a long time?
I told it last night.
Okay. Woo! You can't get them. We haven't got them yet. Go ahead.
I have to be less Jewish to be a rapper.
That's going to be in his act. He's like, I wrote a new joke.
I stole from someplace completely novel. So I played a guy who, chemical waste company, we didn't make the chemicals, we just made the waste. Okay. And
these things work on batteries.
I got you.
Yeah, we need to to speed this shit up, okay? What show'd you write on?
So then,
not the first one. That's the good one.
That's what turned me on to the idea of maybe writing is going to be the thing,
right?
Because I was at that point, I was 34.
Yeah, wow.
I looked in the mirror and I said, you know something? I've had this shot. I've had this shot. I've had this shot. If I was going to become a star, it would be happening.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Right.
But the writing was cutting through and people started.
Hang on 1 second.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I went to L.A. with my scripts under my arms, and I just schmoozed people, and I would say, meet people every place. I'd say, and they would say, what do you do? I'd say, well, I'm a writer.
Right.
And they would say, oh, I'd love to read your stuff sometime.
Oh, cool.
And instead of, everybody says, oh, I'd love to read your stuff sometime. But I would hand them my stuff.
Oh, my God.
I'd hand them an envelope with three scripts in it.
Wow.
And that's what they would say. They would say, wow.
Yeah, I was kidding.
Exactly. And but about
you had homework for people.
Yes. But about 25% of the people that I gave scripts to actually would call me and say, hey, I enjoyed it or whatever.
Really?
Thanks or whatever.
That's a good percentage.
And then one, that is a good percentage. Yeah. And then one of them called to say, we want to option this thing.
It's hey, my name's Loretta. I met you on a bus. You gave me this script.
That's not his punchline.
Oh, sorry.
One option this thing is called?
It's called Whoops, I'm the President.
Oh, never mind.
You stepped on my punchline, you fucking asshole. I was doing a black.
What were you going to say?
I did a black lady in a bus, was one of the ladies that he. I had a character with a backstory.
I did a black lady on a bus.
Loretta, I'm Loretta. You gave me the script on the bus. I think it was good. You know what I mean? You stepped on my punchline.
When did Barry Diamond show up?
I really thought I saw the light at the end of the tunnel. I thought like
no, it's a fucking. We're at another fucking script.
It's another tunnel.
Get to the good one, would ya?
It's a tunnel.
Oh my God! Can you not make us read? This is like reading the story.
This is like so. Uncle Milty.
No, but listen. All right, so it was called Whoops, I'm the President. It was about a comedian who, for a publicity stunt, runs for president and accidentally wins.
Bill, nobody's going to buy it now. All right?
No, they're making it.
Are they making it?
No, they have this thing, the mayor. There's about an entertainer who runs for mayor and wins. It's a black guy. You wouldn't be interested.
I love black people. Why would you say that? Yeah. I don't have them go glassed at my comedy show, but or first. Because they're late. No, I'm kidding. Come on, we can make fun of the Jews, not the blacks. George is black, right, George?
Absolutely.
There you go.
So listen.
Absolutely.
So we do a table
read. Say it
again. I get it.
Yes.
We do a table read. Here's who the table read is.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you're gonna Cavell. Cavell.
Okay.
You think we're almost?
Bill Maher.
Wow.
Bill Maher played the guy.
Yep.
The comedian.
Okay.
Larry Miller played his agent, who becomes the chief of staff in the White House.
Yep.
Mickey Dolenz directed.
Wow.
The monkeys?
Yeah, George Wallace was
Uncle
Phil.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you can imagine how funny that table read was.
That's crazy. That's a pretty epic. Those guys are all hilarious. And, you know,
And then I got my first job. Long story short.
Yes, too late for that.
I got my first job. The show got canceled. And then Mad About You got made. And I was with the pilot.
Yes.
With Paul.
Ooh.
With the Mad About
You.
You
were the pilot?
I was.
As a writer?
Yeah.
As the head writer?
No.
You were a producer?
I was a writer producer throughout the show from the beginning.
Wow.
And you became head writer. You became head writer, right?
No. I was.
You became a writer who gave head.
How do you think I got the job?
I was supervising producer of the show, but I wrote more episodes than anybody else ever wrote.
That's amazing. So you were one of the writers on the show. A hit show for what? 8 years? 9 years?
7 years?
7 years.
And then so that did very well. And then development deals after that, and then other stuff. And then one of the things that in my career is I did a thing for Showtime with Richard Pryor where I actually produced Richard's last two projects of his life.
Really?
Some say that's what killed him. But the point is the point is there's actually title pages that say written by Richard Pryor and Billy Grunfeld.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
Did you frame that?
frame it, laminated it,
yes.
Have a wallet size.
Hand it to people at Starbucks. Would right. you like to read something?
Along
you,
with three scripts.
You yeah. were little Bill Grunfest, right? Or is that a joke? I remember that. Were you little Bill Grunfest?
No, it was wild Bill
Grunfest. Oh, wild.
Grunfest.
Wild.
No, I'm talking about when you were naked.
You were little. You were little Mark Cohen.
I was little Mark
That's
Cohen.
What all the girls named you.
Ooh, all the waitresses. All right.
Waitress. So now, but you, all right, I'm going to wrap this up. But you guys came in. You came in after that. Now, you're in the cellar right before me. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
A few years before.
And now it starts kicking in. But I remember when I came to the cellar, it was dead. I mean, we'd be there on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday. Nobody was there. We'd have to perform in front of maybe 15 people, 10 people, keep going. And then people would slowly filter in and out. And
well, there were times that Manny would make the wait. I mean, there was not one person
yeah.
in the audience.
Yeah.
And he would make the waitresses sit there. So there was somebody and the comedians had to go up.
Right.
Yeah. Just so somebody would see a show going on, you know.
And now, and then.
Yeah, business dipped, you know, in the 90s, I guess. There yeah. was a.
Every place.
Industry.
Late 90s.
Every place.
Mid-90s.
Yeah, mid-90s.
To the dipped yeah. in the 90s.
And then in 2000s. It picked up, but now here we are again. It's saturated again.
It's never been like this.
It's never been like this, but it's
crazy, huh?
Do you think it's going to die? Do you think yes. it's going to go back down? All right, yeah. relax.
No, but you guys, it's seriously, in New York.
Why do you say
in
that?
In New York, it's a different world. Comedy wise,
well,
I mean, it's saturated maybe in New York, but not
I think comedy now,
in the country,
yeah. comedy now in New York, especially, but around, I mean, comics became the new rock stars. People started seeing comedians like they saw bands
yeah,
like Aerosmith,
selling out the Garden
all around. I mean, these comics, big
Bill,
comics.
Bill Burr sold out the Garden, and he doesn't even have a show,
right?
Just on the strength of his stand up.
Wow. Stand up, and
what
but
does he
then,
do? What do you mean he doesn't have a show?
He doesn't have a TV.
He has.
Oh.
He does have a TV.
Oh.
He has,
probably from YouTube videos and whatever's going and comedy specials.
He has a TV show on
Madison Square Garden.
Stop. He has shut. He has a TV show on Netflix.
What TV show is it?
It's an animated TV show about his family. It's a very. It's on his second season. So
he
does have a show. Yes,
he
did prior to that. But I don't want to say he doesn't have a show. They do have a show because I'm going to hear Dick Bell has a show. Oh. Tell Norm to shut his face.
I'm trying to say how great he is.
He is great. He's unbelievable on the merit of his stand up is what you're saying.
Yeah.
But even beyond that, like comedy, people used to come and see plays or you know go to the theater or stuff. Now you come to New York City, you're going to a comedy club and it's the cellar. I mean, you're coming to the cellar to see a show.
And on top of that, as I recently learned,
yeah.
That not only is the cellar like the comedy show you got, but in all of New York's attractions, across all the attractions,
yeah.
the comedy cellar is like the number two thing.
What's number one?
On TripAdvisor. It's Mark. You got a punchline?
The yeah. comic strip.
Wow.
It was like, I think number one was like a Big Apple bus or something.
I mean, I don't know if
what
I could have.
The number one attraction?
It was like a Big Apple bus.
I could have.
It goes up and down in TripAdvisor.
I couldn't have set you up. Any,
and I didn't have it. I had to toss it.
I should have let. I should have gave you a day to write it out.
Are people developing in New York still, though? Or
yes,
all people like you that are successful.
Well, here's the thing in New York now is that you can. I'm famous from. I have fame, believe it or not, from the Comedy Cellar.
Yeah,
I have when I go on the road.
They say,
now they're like, we saw you the first time at the Comedy Cellar. Like they would see me like on Louie, or they saw me on Sex Drugs, or Opie and Anthony fans, or even this podcast. People come up to me like, dude, I'm a friend of the podcast. A lot of people come up and go, oh, we went on vacation and we saw you at the cellar.
And why are you doing the same act? You're on the road. You've had 6 years.
Please don't repeat. Please don't repeat the thoughts in your head.
I know.
It's been 6 years.
I've had jokes I've been doing 40 years.
No, I
Hello.
What year did you start at the cellar?
I started. It had to be. Wow. The boat ride is 2099, so it had to be a year before that or 2 years before. So 98, 97, 98, I was in at the Boston Comedy Club first. Then I remember my agent or manager at the time was like, all right, we're going to do a spot at this club. I was like, cool. And I walked over. I didn't know about Esty, didn't know about the history. I was just over at the Boston, you know, going up after Chappelle, Jay Moore, Brewer, Patrice.
Right, Boston was great. Go ahead.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was. Boston Comedy Club at that time had all the young holy shits coming up. okay? And you guys were over at the Cellar. And then...
wait. You make it sound like...
It was the same people, pretty much.
So I remember I went over there, and he's like, all right, you got to do 5 minutes. And I met Esty. I was like, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you go up, and I went up and just fucking murdered for 5 minutes. And I walked off. I was like, all right, cool. She's like, okay, give me a call. And I got in. And then I've been in ever since. But I was 145 spot for years. That's why I love guys bitching. These fucking young guys come in now, and they're like, they think they, you know.
They deserve it.
Well, they know. They think it's a bad thing.
Well, you don't.
And it's not a bad it's not a bad thing.
No.
The 145 spot to close the show, to end the show, yeah, is they want somebody who can do it, number one.
It wasn't empty at 2 o'clock. It wasn't like.
Sometimes it was. But you know what?
Everyone's complaining now it's not empty.
What? Nobody no. Now it's a full room. But it is crazy that, you know, these some who I want earlier spots. It's like, earn them.
Yeah,
I had to fucking earn them. I remember when I finally said, I was like, Esty, you know, I'd like, and she was like, okay. And she gave me an earlier spot, and it was hosting. So I was like 9 to 2 now. So I took that, whatever. I quit hosting because I think it those spots push you to become better. And I think they also, you know, when you want to be here on the schedule, you got to keep fucking working hard, and it got me out of those spots. I mean, look, I still close all the fucking shows. Let's not get carried away. Am I right? I'm still bitching half the time. Oh, it's just annoying. I got to go up at the end of every fight because I hate this too because you're so good. It's a compliment. Go fuck yourself. They want me to clean up whatever mess there's going to be. If the guy's too famous and nobody can follow, if the guy stinks and I got to go up and clean it up.
The best was when the show was pumping, though, middle show, you'd have a spot and they'd go, okay, go on and do 3 minutes. because I'd have to. We got to get the show over. You know?
Oh, I got that.
I
got
to repeat jokes.
When I used to host. I used to do. I didn't know what jokes I did. It'd be like, it'd be like 1:45, and I'd do. I remember one night I did the same joke, and I went, why are you guys not laughing at that? Because I knew it killed, and like, you just did it.
You did it, two guys. Set,
you did
the same jokes.
Oh my God, crazy!
An ounce a day is too much.
At the end of the night, sometimes Mark Cohen and Rick and John Stewart, there were nights where the people wouldn't leave.
Yeah.
And so we would try to drive them out by being as bad and as stupid as possible.
Right.
But it just got funnier.
That's hilarious.
And the people wouldn't leave because they wanted to see what would these idiots do.
They used
next.
To when I had a set, they used to know them, and they would send up a tray of 6-7 vodka shots.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I would drink them during my set. Drunk. And they would all get a kick. And then towards the end, I would get too drunk, so they would make like 3 vodka and 3 water, and then I would drink them. The audience wouldn't know, but I would.
That's fun. Now you knew all these guys coming up, but you went in a totally different way. Comedy wasn't your thing. Dome?
No.
I thought you were talking to me. I'm like, wow, that's fucking brutal.
Yeah,
Mark, I was. No, listen.
That's what Harvey said.
Listen, let me finish. So you, now comedy seems to be your thing.
Well.
Oh, you've seen him play music.
Well, his father. But his father, comedy wasn't your father's thing the whole time. It became his thing. And he really took care of it and nurtured it. And he started the table. I mean, we can say that. People claim that he started the table, yeah, correct? Yeah. It wasn't Colin or.
No, it was Nick DiPaolo.
Was it who?
Nick DiPaolo.
What did he say?
He said, Manny, we need a place.
Really?
There's no place for us to sit down.
Right.
We need someplace we can sit.
And he did it.
Yeah, so he did it. Yeah.
That's great.
I have a little bit of a jag on that particular story, but you go ahead.
A what?
Go ahead. A little bit of Manny and I used. Manny would say, the comedians are spread out all over the olive tree, so they're taking up all the tables. And I said to him, well, perhaps we should, you know, kind
comics,
of
comic table.
Collect.
So it was you.
Well, I didn't use the word,
it was
you know, comedian's table.
But you said a table.
Yes.
But comedians would sit at
he
it.
He didn't listen to me until Nick said, and then it became validated.
And then you would have to get invited over.
I used to complain
table.
That the chicken kebab was too garlicky. For years, I thought, I said, you got.
Yeah.
Well, and then one day, Jerry Seinfeld came in and said, a little garlicky, Manny. That was it.
Yeah.
There was no more garlic in the chicken kebab.
Yeah, I wonder who else is like that.
My wife.
Wait a minute.
I wonder who else has that trait.
Oh.
Wait, who?
You're not talking about me.
Huh?
You're not talking about me.
No, no, we're not. Nobody's talking about you. No. You don't have people behind you that work with you all the time just looking at the back of your head right now, pointing at you like this as soon as I said that. Nobody did that.
But also, it might just... So comedy's my thing now. Is that what I want to talk about?
No, also what? Say it. Go ahead. Take a hit,
no,
would you?
I don't remember. I don't know if it's interesting, but I'm just trying to understand the dynamic of my father. Somehow, because Bill was really the man at that time.
Yes.
And because it wasn't my father on the line, it was easier for him to say no to the table.
Yes.
Then when he was fully involved in it.
Right.
And then he's like, no, we need a comedy table.
You're right, so right.
You have to be in those shoes to really see it.
Oh, because he didn't understand that
he did, but
they needed that.
I can't picture him having said no, except that you were asking for it. He's like, no, we can't devote a table just to the comedians, you know.
Yeah.
But
unless they're Egyptian.
I think it's that kind of thing, like where I can tell.
There's a difference between him going, hey Manny, maybe we should have a table, and Nick going, what the fuck? I got this fat Jew broad from Yonkers yapping my ear off. Get me a table, Manny.
Also
yeah,
comedy,
there is that.
Comedy wasn't our main income at that time. The Feed
really?
John or maybe the WAB was busy. I don't know what year
is it true?
Very busy. The Olive Tree was a legitimate business at the time. Which
don't you miss doing what you used to do at the WA? I mean, like, with
he still does it.
Friday nights.
Really? I saw that video.
At the Olive Tree.
No, but I mean, like, with the band.
He has a band.
Pieces.
He has a band.
I do miss it. I had to choose what to do. I couldn't do it all. And you'll understand this. You can explain it to Robert.
What am I? I'm right here. I can understand. Oh, sorry.
We own the building where the Comedy Cellar is.
Right.
We own the real estate. And in the WA, I had like 3 more years on my lease.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I had to throw in with what I could count on, which was the Comedy Cellar. So right. I sold the WA.
And what a good choice it was.
I mean,
come on.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, it is because you went over to the Village Underground and music was there, and now it's comedy. And now there's a comedy club upstairs.
Yeah.
And pretty soon you're going to make the bar into a comedy club.
Ace Hardware. You mean it's a good choice, like, because it's business-wise?
Oh, well, I mean, business-wise...
I get the same pleasure out of the comedy store that I get.
Well, because you're not... Because you're a performer. You're not up there.
And, yeah, that's exactly it. Like, in the WA, it was my show.
You're a star.
I was it's not just I was
you ran it.
I arranged the music. If it was successful, when it was a line around the corner of the WA, I said I did that.
Right.
In the Comedy Cellar, you guys write the jokes.
Yes.
So it's not I'm happy.
Right.
And I do understand that
but you're a big part of that.
That there's something about facilitating it which matters.
Big part of
and
it.
And I could point to some I can't talk about them I guess, but I can point to some key decisions that were made. Which made a huge difference.
Yeah.
Nevertheless.
Yes.
I can't take pride.
Yes.
If you kill.
Yeah.
It's still you with the one
yes.
to kill.
Just yes. You giving us.
They're the one. They're
the
ones walking out going, "That was the best night I ever had."
Who put that show together?
But they don't understand that to facilitate that thing had something to do with it.
I tell
too.
Liz, I just turn on the lights. Like, what do I do?
Yeah. Well, Liz does it. You don't do that.
Yeah.
Liz does it.
I mean, I let
and George,
you don't even turn on the light.
Actually makes lights available. So, yeah, you don't do shit.
No, you're right. In a certain way, you're right.
Well, you make good choices on people to do things for you.
Yeah.
Well, so you play at the
play the Olive Tree on Friday night.
Every Friday.
I have to keep playing, but it's not like.
It's amazing.
Yeah, but it's not like the wah I'm saying. It's not, whatever. So I do get pleasure out of
it. Very loud, but it's good.
I do get pleasure out of Comedy Cellar.
Yes.
But not the pleasure that I wish I got out of it.
Right. Which you could. But you could someday if you wanted to go back to playing. But, I mean, it's...
Yeah. Well, I also lost so much of my hearing. I don't think it's a good idea.
Is that your phone?
No, really? This is my alarm because Jeff Chunk is calling me.
All right, we're going to wrap this up right now because now he's getting on the phone with a lawyer. We're all here in Vegas. Can you not?
He's got Christmas bells on his phone, too.
Oh, my God. I love that he plays dumb with electronics. I tried to turn the phone off that I'm on all day long.
It was hung up.
All right, listen. We're here in Vegas. We're not going to say anything, but it's...
you can say.
What?
What?
No.
I've said it many times on my show.
Really?
You have?
Look into the camera.
I thought that's what this was for.
What? This a for? What are you? Why did you just turn to Italian? I thought that this is a for.
No, that Tourette's thing is going to. Motherfucker!
We're going to be opening in Las Vegas.
What?
What? Oh, my God. What?
What?
a cafe wa?
This is going to be fantastic.
You're playing in Las Vegas? You're bringing the band back together.
Ma!
What? No, you're
opening... The Finjan?
The Comedy Cellar. Where are you going to open it?
What?
What?
Nice setup. Yeah, it's...
Where are you going to open it?
At the Rio.
Where we're at right now?
Where we are right now.
Wow, that's
Rio
amazing.
The Rio Hotel and Casino?
It's a small room, but we'll put some
not in my room.
Not your room.
This is the worst room ever. It really is. It's just a terrible.
Sweet, by the way.
You know when the molding is coming off the tub?
Robert, before we even get the club open, could you not insult the Rio?
I'm kidding.
Who the hell would put a club in this shithole?
I'm kidding.
What the fuck is the comedians?
Like, I'm kidding. This sense at all? Actually, this is very beautiful.
It's a sweet.
This is why the casino is great. I'll tell you why. Every room is a suite.
Yeah, this one.
All of them are.
No, just the Rio, though.
Oh, just the Rio.
Yeah.
Just the Rio.
And what does molding even do,
Rob? It's all sweet hotel, it's called.
Keeps the water in the tub. Listen. No. Listen. No. It is. Every room's a suite, which is awesome. To have a big room like this.
And a
big
great pool.
Yeah, beautiful pool. It's a great casino. And
I heard they have a great comedy club opening up. And
I tell you what.
They are?
Some point.
Not a great one. Not the best. And if it wasn't for you, and if it wasn't for George, and if it wasn't for Liz, and if it wasn't for me, and of course,
the light switch.
If it wasn't, if it wasn't for Manny having a son to keep turning the lights on. All right, listen, man. I next time I come to Vegas, I want to do another one. Oh, you're in L.A., right?
Yes, I come here all the time.
Next time, I want to do one on the when you took over. I'd like to do another thing on.
Wait, Robert, he wasn't even halfway finished.
Buddy, I know.
Seventh grade.
I can't. He's a writer. They talk.
Life ended with Mad About You. That was 25 years ago.
Was that 25 years ago?
More than 25.
25 years ago. Let me see. Yeah, 91 to 99.
Story to come.
91 to 99.
All right. See, when he looks up.
China now. He's a comedy consultant in China.
What is that?
I adapt.
Do you speak Chinese?
No, that's the amazing part.
No,
I adapt shows for the Chinese audience.
Really?
Mad About You was a big hit in China.
Wow.
It's not just translating. You have to adapt the stories so
you're on camera. Get off the phone.
To
oh,
the
God.
Chinese
you
had
to. I ended on the whole light switch thing. We're ended. Okay. Now he's back in with five syllable words again. Oh, my God. No wonder your father didn't want a table with just him sitting at it. I mean, you sit there all night, fucking. You know, man, let me say something, Manny. Go ahead.
Jerry planning a comedian table.
Oh, God. You know what? I'm not doing this. Give it up for everybody. Bill Grunfest, Mark Cohen, Noam. He goes. He thought I was talking about him. We got George and we got Liz. This is another live YKWD. You got two of them this week. This one is definitely my favorite. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next time on You Know What, Dude.
All right, this sponsor. Do not hit 10-second forward, whatever it is, 15. Just listen to this sponsor. These are my favorite. I have these sheets. I love them. They're on my bed. And it's a great holiday gift. What do you get your Aunt Peggy? What do you get your mom and dad? You can get these for your wife or your girl. They'll love you for them. I love mine. Brooklinen.com. They're so soft, so comfortable, high-end bedding. It feels like you're in a Ritz-Carlton, but you're in your house. And you didn't have to spend a bunch of money. Look, they gave me a pair, and then I went and bought them. That's when you know a sponsor's good. That's when you know I like. I don't know, I'm being honest. You spend a third of your life in your sheets with Brooklinen.com. You can get high-quality sheets and bedding you and your loved ones deserve without needless luxury retail prices. Buying great sheets is an easy way to upgrade your nightly routine. The right sheets can make or break a good night's sleep and help you feel better and well-rested every day. Even though quality sheets make for quality sleep, most high-end bedding is marked up more than 300%. That's ridiculous. 300%.
By the time it reaches the stores, it's 300% markup. Brooklinen makes quality luxury sheets and bedding accessible to everybody. And it's at a great price. And it's a great gift idea. Brooklinen was founded 2014. Husband and wife team, Vicky and Rich Fulop. On the philosophy that people deserve simple, beautiful home essentials without luxury pricing. Brooklinen cuts out unnecessary markups, retail licensing fees, and manufacturing waste in order to offer high-end designer and exceptional savings across their collection. The colors are great. The designs are great. It's not just three colors. They're unbelievable. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world because people love these products. Their sheets have over 12,000 five-star reviews. Brooklinen sheets were named the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. They have versatile colors and patterns that you can mix and match to complement any decor. This is luxury bedding, underpriced. You have to try these sheets today. I love my Brooklinen sheets. Try these sheets, and I know you'll love them too. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for my listeners, okay? $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code WHATDUDE at Brooklinen.com. This is a great gift for Christmas. I'm telling you, go to Brooklinen.com, okay? And Brooklinen, in fact, Brooklinen is so confident that you'll love these sheets. It's a 60-night free trial, satisfaction guaranteed, and lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. There's no reason not to do this. There's no reason not to give these sheets a try for yourself or as a gift this holiday season. Give the gift of luxury right now. The only way to get the $20 off and the free shipping is to use promo code WHATDUDE at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code WHATDUDE.
Listening to the YKWD podcast. Thanks for listening. Now go back to your shitty jobs.
Shitty jobs. Shitty jobs.
Check out riotcast.com for all of the best podcasts on the internet. And they are all free.
And they are all free.